Let's pray together. Father, again, we are privileged to be in your presence. And Lord, when we think about the words that we just sang and what this song means about building our life upon you, upon your love, upon your word, upon your commands, God, it is a firm foundation. Lord, there's so many other things in this life that we try to build our life upon that just seems like sand, and it just sinks and it gives way, and we can't even really begin to build what we're wanting to build because it just keeps falling. But God, you are the firm foundation that we need to build upon so that we can see our life become what you've always intended it to be. God, I pray for every person standing in this room right now. God, I pray that you would speak into their hearts and speak into their lives, and you would speak truth into them. And God, right now, they would feel your Holy Spirit tugging at their heart. God, I pray that you would give them peace where there is anxiety, that you would give them bravery where there is fear. God, I pray that you would give them understanding where there's confusion. And God, I pray that you would bring truth where there are lies. Jesus, I pray that we would see you today. God, we could feel you in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we're living in a time where there's so much confusion. So many things we don't understand. So much stuff that we don't even know what to trust or what to believe. But God, if we look to you and we allow you to lead us and you to guide us, Lord, we'll never be lost. We'll never be questioned. So God, for these people standing in this room, for the people who are at home watching right now, for the people who are going to watch this and listen to it later on, God, I pray that you would speak to them. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be present. I pray that they would know at this moment, this time, that you are real. And God, you're calling them by name. Father, we love you today. Lord, I pray that you would be with us and move and work in a way that we've never experienced or felt before. Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So see a lot of new people this morning. Maybe some of you have been watching our services online. So good to see everybody as usual. If you've missed any of this series, we're in our 6th week. This is our final sermon of the series. So if you've missed any of this, you can catch up online. You can go to our website. You can access our videos on YouTube or Facebook. You can get the podcast off of our website. And so I just encourage you to do that and catch up on this from where we've been led this whole time, just talking about how God wants to interrupt your life, but even looking at the example of Christ and even Jesus being in human flesh, allowing his life to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit, allowing his life to be interrupted by God's will in order to accomplish his purpose and his plan. Because when you look at this, every single one of you are created for a specific reason and purpose. God has a plan for your life. God has designed you. He created you for a specific purpose and reason. And when you look even at Jesus, God's own son, he was the same way. God brought him into being in creation, designated him to be the sacrifice for our sins. There was a plan, there was a purpose that he came to earth in order to fulfill. And today we're going to read that passage, this passage of Scripture that's so familiar. And one of the things I love about this series is we've talked about so many passages of Scripture that are so familiar. And today we're going to be in Matthew 26. We're going to be looking at verses 36 through 46. And usually this is a passage of Scripture we would read around Easter, talking about the crucifixion of Christ and his life coming to an end. But if you remember back at the very first sermon we talked about in this series, we talked about how Jesus only had a limited amount of time, 3 years. When his ministry began, when we pick up in his life and he begins his ministry, He had 3 years to accomplish what God had sent him to do. He was on a limited time frame. And today when we read this passage of Scripture, that 3 years is coming to an end, and it's coming very, very quickly. And God had a purpose for him. God had a plan for him. God had something that he wanted him to accomplish. And today we get to look at this flesh and blood of Jesus Christ and see that there were even times in Jesus' own life when he did not want God's will in his life, that he wanted something else, which is kind of hard to think about. It's kind of hard to picture. Let's read this together and we'll talk about some more. Verse 36. Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. So basically, they've just finished the Last Supper. They're going to the garden. Jesus is going to pray. And he said, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." So he goes to the garden. He's going to pray. And he has these three disciples, his most trusted disciples, that he takes with him to keep watch with him and to pray with him. He went on a little further and he bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." I want you to remember that, all right? The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. There's so many of us in here today. We know God is real. We understand that it's truth. We understand there is an eternity. We want that eternity. We want a relationship with God. The spirit is willing. You know that it's true and you want it, but your body is weak. And Jesus is addressing this with his disciples as the final hours of his influence in their life, in this physical body, is coming to an end. He's telling them, you need to keep watch. You need to pray because your spirit is willing, but your body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went and prayed a third time, saying the same things again. All right, Jesus is continually going back to the Father. Now think about this. He's praying to God. He's like, "God, let this pass from me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to experience what is coming my way. If it's possible, let it pass from me. But yet, I want your will to be done and not mine." It wasn't Jesus' will. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest, but look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinner. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." So if you're taking notes this morning, point number one, again, Jesus is allowing his life to be interrupted. This is kind of monotonous. We've been talking about this for 6 weeks, but there's one thing that you need to understand when you look at Scripture. It's not just the pastor asking you to give up your life in order to follow Christ and serve him. It's not just Jesus asking you to do something in order to take advantage of your life or accomplish something through you. Jesus came in flesh and blood to do exactly what he's asking you to do. He allowed his life to be interrupted. Jesus had a will of what he wanted and what he wanted to experience and what he didn't want to experience. Anybody in here like to suffer in pain? Anybody like to experience hardships? No. We don't want that, but Jesus didn't want it either. And he's praying, "God, take this away from me, yet I want your will to be done and not mine." And there's no clear passage of Scripture right here that displays the humanity of Christ more than him having this struggle between what God wanted and had planned for his life and then what he wanted and what he wanted to experience and what he didn't want to experience. And so you're looking at the Savior of the world who loves you enough, each and every single one of you and me enough to die and experience what he was about to experience, even though he didn't want to. You understand that? Any of you adults in here, you ever done something or experienced suffering or suffered in some kind of way for your kids, even though you didn't want to, but you did it because you love them? Thank you. We got an amen back there. All right. That's what it is. It's that love. It's that when you feel like something is yours and it belongs to you, even though there's sometimes your kids don't claim you and they run from you and they rebel against you, it doesn't mean that you don't love them and you don't care about them. And there's so many people, everybody in the world at some point in time didn't love Christ, didn't claim him as their Lord and Savior. And even before people even claimed him as their Lord and Savior, Jesus died for you and me because he loved us enough to do that before we ever gave our heart and life to him. If you're sitting in here today and you haven't gave your heart and life to him, he loved you enough to die for you even though you haven't given your heart and life to him yet. And you may never give your heart and life to him, and he loved you enough to do it anyway. Just by chance that you might make that decision one day, he made it possible for you to have a relationship with him. But Jesus didn't want to experience that. He didn't want to experience what was coming in order for that to happen. And he prayed for God, if it's possible, if this can happen in any other way where it don't cause me to experience what I'm about to experience, let it be. And he told his disciples, he said, I'm stressed, I'm in anguish to the point of death, where Jesus was desiring death over what he was about to experience. And if you read the scriptures, you know in just like a couple days' time, he's literally about to die. He's going to experience death. But it wasn't the death that he was worried about. What Jesus was worried about was the separation between him and God for the very first time in all of eternity. I mean, think about this. Jesus was with God when all things were created. He had had a relationship with God forever. As long as they've existed forever, they had known one another. And what Jesus was about to do was take your sins and 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 all my sins on his shoulders. And when he does that on the cross and he takes all of our sin on himself, this is going to be the first time that he's ever separated from God in any sort of way. It's going to be the first time God ever turns his back on him. He's going to experience separation from God for the first time. You and I can't understand that. Because when you and I were born, we were separated from God. There might be some of you in here today, there might be some of you listening in right now, who is separated from God because you've never had a relationship with him. And you don't know any different. But for the first time in all of eternity, Jesus is about to be separated from God. And that's what is bringing him to the point of anguish where he just like wishes that this could happen any other way except for being separated from God in which the way that he was about to. And I want to tell you this morning, when you look at this passage, we're going to read Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. And I want to encourage you today. If you claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you claim to be a follower of his, if you claim to be his child and following his will, Paul writes this to the church in Rome, and he says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that exists in this world that can separate you from the love of God except for your sin. And when you talk about the example of what sin can do and the separation that sin can do, Jesus never sinned. He never rebelled against God. He always, even in his physical body, he maintained that spiritual relationship with God the entire time until the point came where he took all of our sins on himself, and for the first time, he experienced separation from God. That's what sin can do. Sin brings about separation from God. There might be some of you in here today, there's sin in your life, and you feel that separation. You feel that there is a separation in your heart where you are not with God. You pray, you feel like it bounces off the ceilings. You cry out to God, you feel like you want to do good, but you can't. You keep making bad decisions, you keep doing dumb stuff. You just can't make it happen. And guys, I'm challenging you today, until we get to the point where we give up the sin in our life and we turn to God and we surrender to him and we ask him into our hearts, we ask him to forgive us of our sins, and to begin to pursue this relationship with him, you're always going to feel that separation. And even as a Christian, if you claim to follow Christ and there is sin in your life, I guarantee you, you may not feel like you're going to hell, but I bet you feel like there's a separation in your relationship with him, because that's what sin does. It separates us. It cuts us off. And Jesus experienced that for the first time. And Jesus didn't want to do it. Can I say that again? Jesus was looking for any possible way out than to experience what he was about to experience, because the Savior of the world, the one who existed with God since eternity, knew that the worst thing that he could ever experience in his existence was to be separated from God, and he was about to experience that for a short amount of time, and it was the worst thing that he was having to look forward to, and it was the curse that every one of us probably dread, is knowing something bad that's going to happen is about to happen. Any of you ever been in that situation? Any of you ever been in that situation? I can remember when I was little, and if my dad whipped me when I was little, yeah, it hurt, but it was over. It wasn't that bad. The worst thing in the world was knowing that we were somewhere out in public and he couldn't get me then, but I knew that it was coming when we got home. And so for hours, I was just sitting there. I'm like, dang it, man. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. You'll be sweating. You know it's going to come. And it never failed. He never forget. He's like an elephant. Never forgot. Knew that it was coming. The worst thing in the world is looking forward to something bad that's going to happen. You know it's going to happen and having to wait for it to get here. And time just goes by so slow. It's like when you're in school and you're just sitting at the clock and you're miserable, time drags on. And when you get out of school, time goes by so fast. That's how it is. Jesus didn't want to experience that. But when you look at his example, he was willing to let God's will be done despite what he wanted as a human being. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to follow in his example, to sacrifice the things in our life that we want, the things that we desire, the stuff that we want to accomplish, to sacrifice those things in order to let God's will win out in our life. And you're looking at an American church. I can't speak for the rest of the world, but I can speak to a lot of churches around here. There's a bunch of churches in our area. A bunch of churches. I'm telling you, the American church, we've done a terrible job at giving up our wants and our desires in order to let God's will be done in us and through us. And that's one of the reasons why the churches are dying, because we've been selfish and we've clung to stuff and we've held on to stuff. We've done what we wanted. We've held on to what we wanted instead of giving up our desires and what we want to accomplish in our personal lives for God's will to be done in us and through us. And if you want to be a follower of Christ this morning, we have to be willing to let our desires die so that his can live in us and through us. We've got to be willing to do that. And in the midst of this internal struggle that Jesus has had, he's pouring out his heart before God. He's being honest with him. I don't want to do this, but I would rather your will to be done than mine. And that's not a natural thing. It's not a natural thing for you to be sitting in here today and just be thinking of all the things that you can sacrifice and give up for the good of God or other people or trying to minister to someone. That's not a natural thing. Me and Pastor Timmy talk about that all the time. It's not because of what I want to do. It's because of what God has done in us and through us. We actually did a kind of a mission project the other week, and a guy from another church helped us out, and he witnessed to this guy that we helped, and he told him, he says, I didn't do this because I wanted to do this. I did this because of Jesus. Because Jesus lives in me. I can't do nothing for you, but it's Jesus that's in me that has done this for you. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be sitting at home watching TV, eating potato chips, or doing something like that. In our own desires, we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to give up. We want to gain. We want to consume. We want to accomplish. But in the Christian life, we are supposed to give up in order that God's will can be accomplished. You have to give up things in your life to make room for God to come in. You only have so much room. You only have so much time. You can't accomplish your will and God's will. You have to give up one or the other. And Jesus sets that perfect example. And point number two this morning is to understand that today, Jesus wants you to keep watch with him. When he looked at the disciples, he took these three men up on this hill with him in this garden to pray. And he says, keep watch and pray with me. That's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to keep watch with him. And these are three of the men who are going to be so instrumental in building the church. For what you and I know today, like we have Graham Chapel today, because of what these three men did after Jesus died, rose again, ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came. These three men, the New Testament that we read, the examples that we have in our faith, these three men are hugely responsible for that. And he brought them with him during the most miserable, anguishable time in his life. He says, keep watch and pray with me. He was counting on these guys. He was asking them to pray and help him and be with him, just be a comfort to him and keep watch with him during this time. And they didn't do it. And Jesus wants us to keep watch with him. And we have to understand this morning, that his time was coming to an end. These disciples did not understand how significant this moment was. They really thought in their minds that we're so tired. We're just going to catch a little bit of sleep. We'll wake up. We'll do some more ministry. We'll go with Jesus. We'll get up tomorrow and we'll go minister to some more people. They did not understand the significance of the moment and the fact that there would be no tomorrow with Christ. They didn't know Jesus was about to be arrested. They didn't know he was about to be beat. They didn't know that he was about to be crucified, even though Jesus told them time and time and time and time again, this is what's going to happen. And as it happened, they didn't even remember him talking about it until certain moments would trigger their memory. And you look at this moment, this 3 years that we've been talking about, it's coming to an end. They didn't understand what was going on. And they just thought, you know, we're just tired. Any of you ever been like that before? It's like, didn't matter what was going on, didn't matter what was happening. You're just like, I just can't do this anymore. It's too much. I just need rest. I need a break. I need to do this. Like, I just want to rest. And guys, you got to understand, we're living in a day and time where there's not going to be a makeup. Like, time is drawing to a close. We're living in probably the most sensitive time that the world has ever experienced. And we can say that for two reasons. Number one, because every day that exists, that we wake up and live another day, is another day closer to Christ's return. Obviously, like mathematically, we're just getting closer every day that we wake up, so that makes sense. But also, if you look at everything that's going on in our time, my goodness, do you not believe that God's trying to like send us a message? I mean, do you not feel like God's trying to send us a sign? And we've clung to our wills. We've held on to what we want to do for too long. Can I just say that? We've rested for too long. We've enjoyed too long. We've accomplished our wills for too long. We've held on to it too long. And guys, I'm telling you, I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Never claim to be. Don't ever want to be. But I feel like I would be cheating you this morning if I didn't speak to you and tell you what God has like laid on my heart. But even if you don't believe in God, you have to be humble enough to understand that there's something significant going on in our day and time. There's something coming that we need to be aware of, because it's not just like something bad happened and then it's over. It's just like stuff just keeps happening, right? I mean, like it just keeps happening. It's kind of like you're just going down the river and the water just keeps speeding up. And as the water just keeps speeding up, what does it mean? That there's something ahead that you need to be aware of. And so we're living in a day and time where it's just like one thing right after another that's coming and coming and coming. And we talked about the sign last week. You remember we talked about Krispy Kreme? And have you hungry this morning? Can I tempt you a little bit? And talk about the Krispy Kreme sign. And it'd be like us just driving down the road, seeing the Krispy Kreme sign and saying, oh my gosh, it's the most beautiful sign in the world. And then the hot and ready sign comes on and it flashes on top of the Krispy Kreme sign. You're just like, it's beautiful. And then we're never have enough sense to get out of our car and go inside and see what the sign is pointing to. And guys, this morning, I want to read to you a passage of Scripture from Matthew 24. This is verses 4 through 14. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And listen to it. He told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. Has there not been people come claiming that they were the Messiah? Has there not been people starting these groups and these cults and stuff and saying that they're the Messiah? Yeah, that's happened, all right? One for one. They will deceive many. Were many not deceived? Yes, they were. Two for two. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Wars? Wars going on? We've been in a war since I graduated high school. All right? Three for three, maybe four for four, I've lost count already. These things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. All right, you with me on this? The end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. How about an earthquake? Anybody feel that this morning? Check. I literally thought that we had people running around in our attic of our church this morning. That's what it sounded like. There'll be earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all of this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Verse 9, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. Guys, can I say something to you this morning? If you're not willing to give up your own personal agenda, do you really think when the time comes, if the time comes, that you would be willing to be arrested and persecuted and killed for your faith in Christ if you're not even willing to give up your own desires for Him? It's not going to happen. If the other stuff don't come first, if this time were to ever come in our life, it's not going to happen. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Anybody experiencing some Christian hate these days? It's getting pretty strong. And many will turn away from me and betray me and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and they will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Anybody ever noticed? It seems like, wow, it's pretty crazy these days with the sin that everybody's just willing to throw out there for everyone to see. And the love of many will grow cold. Anybody feel like a lot of people today are just kind of hateful, don't love each other anymore? Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, I want you to understand this. When Jesus is talking about this, He's sitting here saying, like, this stuff is coming. This is the beginning of the birth pains. This is what's going to happen. The signs are pointing to this. And what you're doing is you're floating down this river, and it just keeps picking up. And these signs, it's just one right after. It's kind of like you're on the interstate, and it says something is so many miles away, like a rest area. A rest area is like 10 miles away. Then it's 5 miles away, or, you know, something like that. And you just keep leading up to this point, and it's telling you you're about there. And then you see the exit sign, and you can get off and do it. Any of you ever missed the rest area before? It's a bad day. All right? Verse 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the world, the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Now, I want you to understand this morning, I'm not a doom, gloom, hellfire preacher, but we're just going to talk practically. Every day that we live is another day closer to the second coming of Christ, right? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in His second coming, you don't have a choice, you got to believe in the whole thing, or just don't even bother believing in half of it. Every day that you live is another day closer to the coming of Christ. Every day that you live is another day closer to your natural death. Either way, it's coming. Does that make sense? That's just practical. That's just like good common sense to understand. We have an expiration date even if Jesus don't come back in our lifetime. And I'm not trying to tell you when Jesus is coming back. I don't believe in that stuff. No one knows. If Jesus told His disciples, even the Son of Man don't know when His return will be, there's nobody on this earth who should ever be trying to predict when Jesus is coming back. And I believe that any date that someone says Jesus is coming back on this day, God will specifically avoid that day to prove that person to be a false prophet and make them out to be a liar. If you read Scripture, that's basically what it's indicating. So we don't know when Jesus is coming back. I'm not even trying to tell you when He's coming back. But when Jesus is telling His disciples this, He's saying, look, you need to be looking for these signs. Okay? You need to be watching what they're pointing to. And it's not just a Krispy Kreme sign that you drive by and you admire and say, oh, that's nice, and you just keep driving by. You want to go in there and you want to get what that sign is pointing to. And when you talk about these signs that Jesus is telling His disciples, this stuff is going to happen. It's coming. You need to be watching for this. This is pointing to the end. It's pointing to when Jesus is coming back. And you look at chapter 24, verse 28, Jesus told them, just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. And I want us to understand today, we're living in a time where we're starting to see more and more and more and more signs. And I was super skeptical of even like preaching on this morning because I don't even like talking about this stuff, you know, because we don't know. But then this morning, like, I don't even know what time it was, as our church shook and I thought the roof was going to come down on us, I was like, yeah, this is legit. Like, how often does this happen in South Carolina? It's just like, just another sign. You just chalk it up. Like, you just make you a list. Like, make you a list at home. And you start thinking about all the signs that Jesus starts talking about. This is pointing to the end. This is pointing to the end. This is pointing to the end. But I want to encourage you guys. This doesn't mean that Jesus is coming back like right now. Okay? What it's doing is it's pointing to what is to come. What Jesus is doing is he is slowly letting us know and see that this is happening because Jesus is merciful. Can you imagine if Jesus just, boom, came back and didn't tell anybody? Thank God Jesus is merciful. If Jesus would have came back in the spring of 2001, I'd be in hell. I would not have been saved. I would not have been ready. I went to church when I was little. I heard the message of the gospel. And by the time I was in middle school, I like decided in my life like that wasn't for me at that time. Thank God Jesus is merciful. Thank God he is tarrying. Thank God that he is waiting to come back so that we can be saved. Maybe some of us in this room or some of us listening in today need to get our lives right so we can be ready for this to happen because he's sending the signs to let us know this is coming. You need to be ready for it. It's like birth pains. Any of you ever had that experience, guys? You ever had birth pains? No men in here? No? There's a huge advantage of having a wife who's in the medical field. Last March, when Hannah went into labor with Perry, we woke up at about 5-something that morning. I was getting ready to go to my Bible study. Hannah said, I think I'm in labor. I was like, I was panicking. No, I'm okay. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I am. So I'm like, okay, well, I go to my Bible study at 6 a.m. or, yeah, 7 a.m. Come back. She meets me out in Spartanburg. We go to the OB because we had our weekly appointment that day. We had a weekly appointment for several months. And so we go to the OB. She has her appointment. They say, yep, you're in labor, which is really weird how they check that. But anyway, y'all know. So they check her. She's in labor. You need to get to the hospital right now. And I was like, okay. She had already had her bags packed. We had everything ready. So we leave. We go to Waffle House. Because if any of you have ever eaten hospital food before, I would rather eat an old shoe than eat hospital food. So we go to Waffle House to get our last good meal because we knew we were going to be there a while. We have our Tuesday morning brunch that we always had. We go to the hospital. There's no panic. Because thank the Lord, there's this birthing pain process that when you go into labor, it starts off small and then it just gets more serious as you go along. And it lets you know that this is coming. And so you know when it's like kind of light and they're spaced so far apart, you don't have anything to worry about. And the stronger they get and the closer they get, you have something to worry about. And there's like panic time, okay? We're in the hospital and Hannah's been like cool as a cucumber this whole time. And all of a sudden, Hannah's like starting to panic a little bit. And she's like, you know, she's breathing, she's doing her thing. She's like, I don't know if I should get an epidural or not because today there's like so much pressure on girls. You should have an all-natural birth. You should do this. You should only breastfeed. You can't do this. All the pressure that's on women now with babies is ridiculous, okay? Hannah is like having this internal struggle. Should I get an epidural? So it comes to the point in time where it's like, you need to have it now or you can't have it. And it's like, what should I do? And the nurse was like, listen, honey. If you do this with an epidural, you're going to take home a baby just like you would if you wouldn't. If you do this all natural, only thing you're going to get is pain. You're not getting a medal. You're not getting a cash prize. You're not getting anything else extra. You get to take home a baby just like anyone else. So he's like, give me the epidural. And she's like in that moment. So she has the epidural. And then there comes a point in time where the baby's about to come. And she looks at me. She's like, I can't do this. I'm like, what you mean you can't do this? Like, you don't have a choice. It's coming. I'm like, you signed up for this 40 weeks ago. You've been all cool about it this whole time. Like, this baby's coming. We took pictures. It was all exciting. Everything was happy. And now you can't do it. Like, it's coming. You don't have a choice. When you think about the birthing process of the simple fact that it leads you up to, it warns you of what is to come. And when the time comes, even though it's like, the most rewarding thing that you ever do or experience for most women, it's like when the time comes, nobody wants to go through it. It's not something that you want to experience. Like no person wants to venture in that and experience that pain and that suffering. And like, so as she's panicking, I'm panicking, and there's a time to panic. And I want us to understand today, you're looking at a time in our life, in our world, where the birth pains are getting more significant. And the contractions are getting closer and closer and closer. And what Jesus is doing is he's warning us. He's saying, you're about to give birth. This is coming whether you want it to come or not. It's going to happen. I'm warning you so you can make the preparations in order to be ready for when it happens. Can you imagine what would happen if women gave birth with no warning? Boom, baby, out, no warning. Think about how many women would die. Think about how many babies would die because there was no warning for them to go to the hospital, no warning for them to get ready, no warning for them to get the things that they need in order to make the whole process happen in a safe, halfway civilized manner. The signs and the pains are there for a reason to signify what's coming. And guys, I'm telling you, we're living in a day and time where we need to decide what we're going to do. Because there's going to be a point when the birthing process is here where you're not going to be able to choose whether or not you get an epidural. You're not going to be able to choose where you're at and where you stand and how much you suffer and what you're going through. Guys, I'm telling you, the signs are here. The labor pains are here. We need to be giving our hearts and lives to Christ and serving Him and giving up our wills and giving up our desires and following Him and letting His will win in our life before it's too late. And like I said, I don't know when it's coming. The likelihood of it happening today or tomorrow, I don't know. It could. It might not. I don't know. I'm not predicting when it's coming. I'm just telling you, the signs are there. It's coming. And we need to be ready. We need to make the preparations. Guys, some of us just need to really decide what we're going to do. I mean, when it comes down to it, we just got to make a decision in our life. What are we going to believe? What are we going to live for? What foundation we're going to build our life on? Because I guarantee you, if you're sitting in this room today, there's something inside of you. If you're listening in today, there's something inside of you that wants God. Like you want Him. You want eternal life. You want a relationship with Him. But Jesus looked at the disciples and He told them, you need to keep watch. You need to be praying. Because the spirit's willing, like you want it, but the body's weak. How many of you were this close to sleeping in this morning? How many of you wanted to smother your children before you got here this morning? How many of you got in a fight with your spouse this morning before you came? You can talk to Christians all over the world, and there's something about Sunday morning. Sunday morning, it's like the devil just kicks the door open and has a heyday in most people's homes every Sunday morning because you want to go to church. You want that relationship with God. You want to have fellowship with Him. You want eternal life. But man, when it comes down to it, the devil's strong. Temptation is strong. The world is strong. Your desires are strong, but your body is weak. And if you don't keep watch, and if you don't pray, and if you don't prepare yourself for the things that are coming, when the time comes, you are not going to succeed. Jesus told His disciples, keep watch. Pray with Me so that you don't give in to temptation. Your spirit's willing, but your body's weak. And when Jesus is arrested, and they start the beating process, and the flogging process, and the whipping process, and they have Him on trial before everybody, where are the disciples? They ran away. They were hiding. And the only one who was even following at a distance was Peter. And guess what he did? He denied that he even knew the man and cursed at the people who was interrogating him because he had not kept watch and he had not prayed. And he was willing just a few hours before to die with Jesus, cut off a man's ear to protect him, and was willing to die fighting with Jesus, but was not willing to go and suffer with Him. You understand what I'm saying? Our spiritual lives, our walk with Christ, it sounds great. We all want it. But when you look at what Jesus is calling us to, the sacrifice that He calls us to, the service that He calls us to, the life that He calls us to, there's so many of us who want heaven. We want eternity. We want a relationship with God. But we want all these other things too, and we're not willing to give them up. And we need to decide what we're going to do. We need to decide if we're going to keep watch, if we're going to pray, if we're going to give our lives to Him, because your spirit is willing. But your body's weak. And guys, I'm challenging you this morning to surrender. Just surrender. there's no magic potion. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing you can accomplish. You can't say, well, I'll earn this amount of money and I'll give this much money to the church, or I'll do this, or I'll serve God in some way. Just surrender. Don't try to worry. Don't try to figure out a way that you can give to God. Just surrender and let Him guide you on how He wants you to serve Him. Surrender. You have to be willing to give up your desires and your wills in order for His to be done. You have to make room in your life for God. You can't do it all. You don't have enough room in your life. You don't have enough time in your life to make room for what you want and to make room for what God wants. You've got to give one of them up. You're going to give one of them up, whether you know it or not. You may try to do both, but in reality, you're rejecting God if you're trying to do both. Surrender. Ask God. Ask God for His will to be done in spite of what you want. That's what Jesus did. I mean, we read this passage. Jesus is in the garden. He's like, God, I don't want this to happen. If there's any way possible, please let this happen for me. There's some of you in here. You need to get on your hands and knees and say, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to surrender to you. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up this relationship. I don't want to give up this job. I don't want to give up this friendship. I don't want to give up this hobby. I don't want to do this, but God, let your will be done and not mine. That's what Jesus did. There's nothing wrong with being honest with God and saying, God, I don't want to do this, but help me do this because this is your will. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to speak to you. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The signs are here. Guys, I'm telling you, it's like every day there's another sign. There's another birth pain. There's another contraction. And it's getting closer and closer and closer. If we're not ready, it's our own fault. Jesus has been patient. Jesus has tarried for 2,000 years. Hopefully, He will tarry a little longer so that people can continue to get saved, so that people like you and I can make sure that we have it right with Christ, that we can make sure that we're surrendered. Hopefully, He will continue to be merciful. But the birth and pains are here. They're pointing to what's to come. And like we said earlier, you can look at it one of two ways. Every day that you live is another day closer to your physical death, or every day you live is another day closer to the coming of Christ. Just logically thinking. Make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you have surrendered. Make sure that you have completely given yourself to Christ so that He can come in and let His will be done in you and through you. Because there might be some family members this morning that you're worried about their eternal resting place, that you need to be on your A game. You need to be on your A game, living for Christ, being that example to them so that they can make a decision for Christ, so that they can be ready when the labor finally hits. Don't miss it. Don't miss the signs. Don't miss what they're pointing to. Don't miss the pain. It's all showing us what's to come. And it's as evident as it could ever be. Let's pray together. Father, we love You today. And again, we are so blessed to be able to come into this building as believers in Jesus Christ and worship together and serve together. And God, I pray for every person in this room. I pray for everyone listening in and watching. God, speak to our hearts. Help us to surrender. Help us to seek out Your will and Your way. And Father, guide us. Show us what we should do. Lord, help us to be willing. Lord, it doesn't come natural. It's not something that we want to do. But God, if we will get on our hands and knees and pray and say, God, help me to do this. If this is Your will, let Your will be done and not my will. Help me to be willing to just give up myself so that You can reign in my life. God, if there's sin, forgive the sin. Lord, if there's rebellion, forgive the rebellion. God, if there's anger or hostility or brokenness, God, come in and heal those things, Lord.